We read the Word of God together as we turn to the Gospel according to John. John's Gospel in chapter 14, we read from the first verse. It's part of the Lord's instruction to his disciples on the night before he was betrayed and went to the cross. This is in the upper room, part of Jesus preparing his disciples for his leaving. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. You've seen it happen, I'm sure. A child in the supermarket, separated from its parents, suddenly realizes it's alone. Everything in a moment is overwhelming, it's frightening. And the tears start to flow, the howls start to rise. Suddenly alone, don't know where to turn, don't know where help is to be found. Of course, everyone tries to help the parents come back, and the child once again is at rest. And yet, often we can find ourselves as adults in situations where perhaps we feel alone, where things are frightening, when they seem overwhelming. Where are we to turn? Jesus' disciples were very much in that position in John 14. Gradually, they were coming to understand what Jesus had been telling them for months, that he was going to leave. He was going to leave in crucifixion and then ascent into heaven. They wouldn't have him any longer. Here was the one on whom they were depending, who had come to mean everything to them. He was going to be gone. What were they going to do? That sense of fear, of helplessness, was beginning to press in upon them. The more they understood of what Jesus was saying, the more they were fearful for the future. And rightly so. Without Jesus, what would happen to them? But the Lord, as they sit together in the upper room, and as he tells them he's going to leave them, he brings assurance and strength. They won't be alone. He's not going to leave them as orphans. Though physically he will leave and he'll ascend into heaven, well, his presence will be with them, but someone else will come. The Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus will give them. We want to think particularly of words we find in John 14. We're looking at verses 15 and 16 and 17. God gives another counselor. God gives another counselor. We're thinking of a particular aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit that should be a tremendous strength and reassurance to the Lord's people. God gives another counselor. As we think of this work of the Spirit that is so precious to us, we want to think first of the trials of God's people. The trials of God's people. Because sometimes among Christians there is a foolish refusal to face up to the reality of trials. The suggestion that if you're a strong enough Christian, you'll sail through life and everything will be well. And if there are trials and there are hard times, there's something wrong with you. Maybe you haven't enough faith. Maybe you're sinning and you need to address it. And that can lay a tremendous extra burden on Christians. Sometimes it seems trials and tests take God's people by surprise, as if such things were unusual. And yet the Bible very clearly tells us that they're not unusual. They're part of what we can expect as Christians living in a fallen world. In the upper room, as we've said, the hearts of the disciples are heavy. They are burdened. They're realizing that Jesus will soon be taken from them. Now, they've been very slow in understanding that. Jesus has warned them over a prolonged period of what was going to happen. He's spoken about his death. He's spoken about his leaving. But often it seems it didn't really come home to them what he meant. But now it's coming home to them very powerfully. They're right on the brink of Jesus leaving. That night he'll be betrayed. Judas will go out to betray Jesus and he'll be arrested, and the whole process will begin that'll lead to the cross and to his death. So now the disciples are beginning to come to terms with what that is going to mean. And it appears to them to mean the end of their hopes. As one of them will say later on, we'd thought he was the one who would restore the kingdom to Israel. Now, a lot of those hopes were misunderstandings of what Jesus came to do. But now they're faced with the reality. All that's gone. And how will they cope without Jesus? It is a very profound spiritual trial for them. And it's in that context that Jesus brings comfort and reassurance. Do not let your hearts be troubled, he says. Most of the translations have some variation on those words. But there are two ways of issuing a command in Greek. There's the command that says, don't start doing something. As you might warn a youngster, don't touch that. Don't start doing it. But there's also the command that says, stop doing something you've started to do. And it's that second kind of command that we have here. Jesus is saying to his disciples, stop letting your hearts be troubled, because they are already troubled. They're in the middle of it as Jesus speaks to them. Stop letting your hearts be troubled, because they are experiencing trouble. They're being tossed about as if they were in a storm. Some of these men as fishermen knew what it was like to be in a storm. Well, their hearts are in a storm right at this moment. And Jesus comes and says, stop being troubled. And we need to realize as the Lord's people that the Christian life brings trials and testing times. And the Lord warns us about that. Indeed, being a Christian can bring trials and tests that we didn't experience before we were converted. And sometimes it does come as a shock. Sometimes it does shake Christians' faith for a time when they come up against hard situations and difficult experiences. And yet, the Lord Jesus, in chapter 16, verse 33, tells the disciples, and he tells us, in the world you will have tribulation, trial, hardship. And it's true for the whole church of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't love us. But sometimes maybe we're tempted to feel this is a hard experience. This is a very difficult time. Does the Lord really love me if he lets me go through this? But Jesus tells us to expect the troubles and the hardships. That's true for all of his people. And the trials are part of his purpose for his people. We will not reach glory without trials. And Paul preached that, Acts 14, for example, verse 22. He says, we must through many hardships enter the kingdom of God. We must through many hardships enter the kingdom. And that is how God has ordained it. No Christian will enter glory without passing through hardships. And we needn't expect it to be otherwise. Trials are part and parcel of belonging to the body of Christ. And the trials can take many forms. It's not just one kind of trial that the Lord ordains for his people. For some, it is physical weakness or sickness. And that can be very trying, especially if it is long term. Perhaps the sudden crisis of an illness and then we get better is easier to bear than the long, grinding times of weakness that sometimes God ordains for his people. That can be a very heavy burden. For others, it's caring for those who suffer, with all the challenges that brings, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual pressures of constantly caring for someone else, perhaps in inevitable decline. It can be the loss of a loved one, and in a sense, for the disciples, that's the situation they're facing. Jesus is leaving. He'll die. He'll return to glory. For some, the trials may be more obviously spiritual. It may be wrestling with a particular temptation to sin to which they're particularly prone. A constant battle. They think they've won that keeps coming back. And it can be spiritual problems that do flow from personal sin. We've got to include those as well, yes. We do sometimes bring the trials on ourselves. Sometimes we're not at all responsible, but still there's a battle spiritually in our hearts. The doubts, the questions, the temptations to despair, there's an endless range of possibilities. For some believers, it's opposition for their faith, outright persecution. There are brothers and sisters across the world today who are facing violence and opposition that we know nothing about. And it may be a daily reality they have to bear. And of course, it isn't just one trial, and they'll come in different ways at different times. And the various stages in life as we grow up and we begin to age bring particular trials as well. The trials of old age are different from the trials of youth, and yet they may be just as heavy to bear. And often, as Christians, there are particular burdens we have to carry. In Matthew 16, Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." And the cross is whatever burdens we bear as disciples. Now, there are those who talk about a cross as any hardship, but that's not how the Bible thinks of it. It is a trial that comes because we're disciples, because of our obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have to carry the cross. And the cross was heavy, and it bit into the shoulder of the convicted man who carried it. And it was painful, it was meant to be. And so there are trials, there are hardships. We must expect these things. We're told in Hebrews 12:6, "Whom the Lord loves, he chastens." It's part of the Father's purpose. These things are not accidental. They're within the purpose of God, which is important that we see them in that light. As one writer has said, we must know what sorrow is to know what comfort is. Now, we would much prefer to know comfort without the sorrow, but that isn't how God ordains it. That is not the way it is for his people. The trials, the hardships are part of the Father's good purpose for us. And one of the reasons is that those trials will lead us to fresh experiences of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They'll lead us to understand things and know things that we would never otherwise have known. The trials of God's people. And if you're in a situation at present where you feel you're burdened, you're tested and tried, you're not alone. And it is not an accident. And it is not outside your Father's purpose for you. Trials of God's people. And it leads us to think, secondly, of the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit. It's God's will that we pass through trials. But it is also God's will that his people receive all the help, the grace, and the comfort, and the strength that they need. The trials are not an end in themselves, as if God somehow enjoyed seeing his people suffer. He is, in the language of 2 Corinthians 1, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. And here in John 14 particularly, it's the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, who makes provision for us. He says in verse 16, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." He is leaving, but he will not leave the disciples alone. The ministry of help, of encouragement, and of compassion will be carried on particularly through the Holy Spirit, this third person of the Trinity. Jesus himself continues, of course, to give us strength and grace. In 1 John 2:1, he's described in the same word as a counselor. It's not that Jesus leaves and forgets about us and the Holy Spirit takes over. No, that's not how it is. Christ continues to love, care for us, and provide for us. But here is an extra dimension to God's provision, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Described here in the NIV as a counselor. The older translations, comforter. It's such a rich word that Jesus uses. There really isn't one single translation that captures everything that's included here. He's a friend, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate. It's a word used in the setting of the law courts as an advocate who pleads someone's case. That sense of counselor in a legal setting. A comforter, yes. The word that Jesus uses really has the sense of someone who is called alongside us. That literally is what the word means. Someone called alongside to help. And that's a very precious thought. He is alongside. Jesus says indeed he will be with you. He will be in you. Verse 17. It's the most intimate connection we could imagine. In a real sense, there is no distance between us and the Spirit. He indwells us in a spiritual, supernatural way. He is near. He understands our need. He knows our minds. He knows our situation. So the word that Jesus uses is a most positive term. Perhaps sometimes we think of a comforter, just somebody who gives sympathy. Now, I'm not minimizing the value of sympathy. But in many situations, sympathy just doesn't do enough for us. We need much more than sympathy. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives all we need, strength, grace, whatever is required by our particular circumstances. He provides it. We need to think of the Spirit in the most positive way. He's alongside. We can lean on him. He can take our weight. And that's particularly helpful perhaps when we're struggling and doubting and questioning. And we think, maybe I shouldn't be thinking this. I shouldn't be saying this. And yet we can lean on the Spirit and he can take the weight of our doubts and our questions and our not understanding and maybe sometimes our anger and our frustration. And we can just lean on him. And it's never too much for the Spirit to take. I think that's a great assurance sometimes to remember that the Lord can take whatever we say and think and doesn't abandon us and leave us alone. Whatever we need to cope with the trials and to overcome them and to find blessing is there in the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. His ministry is very closely bound up with the Word. Very significant in Romans 15 and verse 4. Paul uses a form of this word that we have here as counselor when he talks about the encouragement of the Scriptures. And that's one of the main ways in which the Spirit gives us the help we need. It's through the Scriptures. So we spend time in them and read them and think about them and pray over them and meditate on them. The Holy Spirit will give us the ability to grasp what Scripture is saying. And he'll apply it to our particular circumstances. Have you ever found at a time when you were struggling, in your Bible reading, that there was a verse or a phrase that really struck you and just addressed the situation you faced? And you think, I never saw that before. Now, it was there, but hasn't suddenly appeared in the Bible. It was there. But you're in a situation where that's the word you need. And it comes alive as the Spirit applies it. The encouragement of the Scriptures. You suddenly experience that. And it just addresses your situation in a way you never noticed before. And that's the Spirit working. He doesn't put new bits into the Bible, but he can bring parts of them alive to us in a powerful way just at our point of need. The Counselor gives us encouragement of the Scriptures. That's a vital part of his ministry. In times, perhaps, when you can see only defeat and failure, and that's the danger of looking in too much, when you're oppressed by a sense of your own failure or your sinfulness, the Holy Spirit will lead you through the Scriptures to look to Christ. Because that's what he does. He doesn't draw attention to himself. He draws attention to your Savior. In chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus tells the disciples, the Spirit testifies to him. And the Spirit will remind you of all that Jesus is, of what he's done for you in salvation. He'll show you how complete your forgiveness is, if that's what you're struggling with. He'll remind you of how you stand righteous in God's sight, the sort of things we've been looking at in Romans recently. When you're burdened with a sense of unworthiness and insufficiency, the Spirit will turn your eyes away from yourself to Jesus and the sufficiency and the provision that there is there. When you're being tempted, when you're being drawn to sin, the Holy Spirit will give you strength to resist, because you haven't the strength yourself. And it's when we rely on our own strength we fall. Very striking description in Isaiah 59 and verse 19. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will put him to flight. And maybe you experience, maybe you are, even as you sit here today, you experience the enemy coming in like a flood, and you're struggling and you're wrestling, and perhaps you feel you can't hold on much longer and you can't resist for much longer. The Holy Spirit is the one who'll give you the strength, who'll hold on to you so that you don't go over the edge. It's his grasp on you that matters, and he is the strength that you need if you look to him, trust in him. And often, even in our trials, the Holy Spirit will help us to see a little of God's purpose in the trials. There are some trials that come, and in this life we never understand why. You'll leave this life and there'll be things you've never understood. You didn't know why God led you that way, allowed that to happen. But sometimes the Lord lets us see a little bit of the purpose. We know in the overall picture, everything comes ultimately for God's glory and our sanctification. But often we don't really see how our experience and our trials fit. But sometimes, graciously, the Spirit does help us to see something of what the Lord's working out in our lives. Do you notice it's in the context of obedience that Jesus speaks? If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father. You see, too often we'd like to have the strength and the comfort and the resources, and yet we are careless about obedience. But if we're careless about obedience in love for the Savior, if those things are lacking, we really are also going to lack the strength and the blessing of the Spirit. We cannot live careless lives and expect the help in trials that's available for us. But we have one who's able to help, whatever the need may be. He'll turn our thoughts from ourselves to the Lord. He gives us the strength physically, emotionally, as well as spiritually. And there'll never be a lack. He will be with us, Jesus says, forever. There will never be a time when you discover the Spirit isn't on duty. In many areas of life, There are office hours. There are times when you can get help. If it's outside office hours, that's too bad. But the Spirit doesn't have office hours. The Spirit never closes the door and goes off duty and leaves you. Tells you to wait till tomorrow and he'll be back. He's always there. He's always able to help. And he always will help. The Spirit is in us and with us. And the ministry of the Spirit is everything we need. But one more thing the Saviour speaks of here, a word of challenge. And that's the ignorance of the world. Because in verse 17, Jesus speaks of the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. And that reminds us that the ministry of the Spirit is not for everybody. It's not for those described by Jesus as the world. The world are those who are outside of the Savior, who do not have faith in Christ, who are still in their sins, who are going on in their own way, who are able to think of nothing beyond this present world. The very opposite of the Spirit filled people of God. But those who are still the world can't know the Spirit's ministry. It's impossible. They don't know him. They don't understand him. They're outside of Christ. They're outside of this provision. If that should be your situation today, that you're not trusting in Christ for salvation, then all you have in the times of trouble that are going to come will be human resources, the resources of this present world. But you have no access to God's resources. And those resources that you do have one day ultimately will fail. They can't answer the deepest questions of life and death. And if you do not have resources that are adequate for facing death in particular, you actually don't have anything. Because that is the one challenge that'll come to all of us. And if you don't have an answer to death, you really don't have anything of lasting value. The world cannot know the Spirit's ministry. There is ultimately no lasting peace or satisfaction outside of Christ. And when the hard times come, you really have nothing. Now, that's not to suggest that you come to Christ just as a resource for hard times. That would be self-centered. That would be coming to Christ just for the benefits that you'll get. And that's not a real conversion. We need to understand that the basic reason for coming to Christ is to deal with your deepest problem. And that's your sin. And that's what you need dealt with first of all. It's not hard times, difficult experiences, loss, disappointment. Those are not your biggest problem, though you may think they are. The deepest issue is your sin and your separation from God. And that's what you need dealt with first of all. And that's why you need to trust in Christ. It's for salvation. It's for new life. And then the provision and the help and the blessing for hard times will come. Don't come to Christ just as a resource for difficult times. Come to Christ because you need the Savior and the new life that he gives. And with that, you receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit's ministry, help and the strength for trials. Outside of Christ, you have nothing. But with Christ, there's full provision. The ministry of the Spirit, the Counselor who is in us and with us forever. And with his help, we can face whatever trials come in the purpose of God. May we know more of the power of the indwelling Spirit may we know his ministry in whatever situations we face, for the glory and honour of our Saviour.